every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. The name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Thank you, Christine. What a gift. Yes, thank you so much. I love it at Harmony because we just keep changing things up. It's like nothing's going to stay standard, right? We're always having a little bit of fun. Shake it up. So currently, friends, we are in the midst of a sermon series called Faith and Values, Living a Progressive Spiritual Life. And we have been focusing and looking at seven values that are important to us as Christians, and those values are grace, gratitude, freedom, integrity, persistence, justice, and stewardship, and how these values are playing out in our lives, the personal choices that we're making, but also how we're living them out in our lives overall. So today, this morning, we're going to focus on the value of integrity. So, C.S. Lewis, a novelist, scholar, you may have read some of his books, Chronicles of Narnia, anyone? Yeah, right. So he once said, integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. I'd like to add to that, it's doing the right thing, even when it's difficult to do so. In everyday life, every one of us is confronted with challenging situations and hard to make decisions. The choices that we make in those instances, those decisions, those situations have consequences. And those consequences not only affect us, they affect others who are around us. And so that's partly why I wanted today to be read the biblical story from the book of Daniel, chapter 3, which is often not even a focus for church worship, to be today's centering scripture passage. So sure, you know what? The story, yeah, it's got a folklore kind of quality. Did it happen? Did it not happen? Is it true? Is it not true? Well, this is what I believe, that there is truth in the story. Truth in the story, because what it does, it provides us with some excellent examples of faith, courage, and commitment, as well as it gives us plenty to chew upon as we think about this value called integrity. So let's dig into this story briefly. And I want you to imagine, if you will, an extravagant statue. I want you to think in your mind, extravagant statue, it is made of solid gold, and it stands 90 feet tall. Now that's 30 yards, people. That's 30 yards, and I measured it out. That would be from the back of the sanctuary, that wall, all the way to the back curtain here of the worship. That's how large this would be, 30 yards. All right, so although the identity of this statue is not identified in the story, it would make total sense if it were the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Because Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful man on earth at that time, because he had conquered nation after nation after nation with all of his mighty armies. And so everybody was bowing down to him. He had unquestioned authority over his people as well as those individuals whom he had conquered. So the timing, I found it very interesting as I was digging into this story, that the timing of this statue business is really interesting, because during the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar's rule, this is what happened. He conquered Jerusalem, he had the temple torn down, and then he had the statue built up. So what we have is an issue of worship. There's a worship issue going on. False worship versus true worship. Now, I want to turn now to the three Jewish young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And although they were Jewish exiles, along with Daniel, due to Jerusalem having been conquered, they served, get this, they served on the highest council, court of advisors in the land of Babylon. And I want you to understand that a little bit further, because that's sort of weird in a way, because the policies, if you think about it, the policies of a world empire are actually now being formed based on their input. Well, that went over like a sack of rocks with the Semitic tribe known as the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans are a highly educated, very strongly influential group, and they're having their pity party. They are not happy because, why aren't we in these positions of such importance? Right? And so what do? They hightail it to the king, and they tattletale, and they say, this trio, they're refusing to bow down to your statue. Oh, and what is it going to do? That irritates the king, draws his anger, and he says, I need to see them. So the question is, will Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worship the idol image as commanded like everybody else is doing? Because if they don't, it's going to be burn, baby, burn. Right? Now, I love the trio's reply. In verses 17 and 18, if our God, the one we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of flaming fire and from your power, your majesty, then let him rescue us. But if he doesn't, know this for certain, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. Wow. Unwilling to compromise, this is what we witness, their absolute integrity committed to following the commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, chapter 20, verse 3. Suffer or not, to be divinely rescued or not. Harmony, this was open defiance to the laws of a king in the name of faith. And so, as we find out in the story, they're defiant and into the blazing furnace they go, tightly bound together, but in short order, the king sees them unbound, walking freely about with a fourth figure inside there with them. This mysterious fourth figure, the king concludes, is a divine emissary who has saved and protected this trio, right, from harm. And that, just so you know, that's confirmed in the biblical text. For the literal sense of this particular word in Aramaic is Son of God. Jesus? Right? So as the story wraps up, the king's words seem to say he recognizes the unique power of the God of Israel, yet does the king renounce his belief in other gods? We don't know. But this is what we do know. We do know that he concedes that other gods wouldn't be as powerful as the God of these three exiled Jewish young men, these men of integrity. Okay, here's where I'm going to stop, and I'm going to take a momentary break, and I'm going to ask a question of the day. Question of the day for those that know. If you don't know, we set aside time. We're going to meet and greet our neighbors here. While talking, we're going to set aside 4 minutes to discuss a question that I'm going to bring forth. And after the 4 minutes, I'll draw us back, find out what you may have said in your conversation, and then I'll continue with my message. Sound good? Yep. All right. So the beloved actress, Betty White, she shared this bit of insight. You don't luck into integrity, you work at it. That's a wise, perceptive statement. So the question around this is, how do you work at integrity? How do you work at integrity? So for those connecting with us online, we ask, please consider this question as well and share your thoughts with Harmony's online coordinator, hospitality coordinator. So everyone, let's greet each other with the peace of Christ, and let's begin our time of discussion. Okay, we're coming back. We're going to come back. We're going to come back. So, gosh, time was just flying around. I am going to, I love picking on people, but I'm going to ask Jason Heck to come forward. All right, so Jason, come up and just briefly share.
Thank you. Am I on? Yep. Betty White bringing the insight, right, this morning. I said a lot of different things because it was something that really is, made me want to reflect, realizing that integrity isn't something, this is actually Donna shared this, it's not a destination, it's a direction, right? It's not like in growing up in the church, being the good boy was so important that it was more about the appearance of living a certain way versus living in reflection as an expression of what are my core values. And that's a daily thing. And that's not something that you can ever stop and say, I've arrived. And because new experiences in life will also challenge us in ways we don't even know. So to pretend that we have integrity and we're done is very naive, but a lot for me to sit with.
Yeah, great. So one more. Anybody over here? Come on, Joy. Yeah. Come on, Joy.
Hello, good morning, everyone. So our group, I think we came up with a consensus that integrity, just like Jason was saying, it's like that daily decision. And then my mom actually shared this story, which we didn't get to the connection point, but I had to sit with it for a moment, and I'm like, oh, So she told this story where 6 a.m. she swims every day, and then she came out of her car and there was like poo, right? So like, yeah, probably a dog. And she's like, oh. So then she covered it up with dirt. And this proceeded to happen like every day. And every day she would cover up the poop. After a few weeks, it stopped. But then I was like, what? Where's she going with this, right? So then I sat with it and I'm like, oh, that's what it is. It's hard, right? Like when those daily decisions come, it's not an easy decision, right? It's especially something so dirty, right? But it's like, you know what? I'm going to cover it up or whatever it is. I'm going to make the right decision so that somebody else doesn't step in it and it ruins their day, because that was her purpose. She didn't want it to like ruin someone's day. So I'm just like, yeah, I think that's what it is. It's hard, but you do it daily, and it's connected to your values. And
nice, everything. Nice. Thank you. Wow, who knew that at Harmony we would talk about poo? I love it. I love it. So indeed, we work at integrity. And it doesn't come easy. None of it's easy. What though, if we're considering this, what is its essence, this thing called integrity? What is its meaning? And so if we dig at the root meaning of this word and try for understanding, it is an important value that comes from the Latin word integrare. And it is to make whole. It's to make whole. It is also derived from a word you may have heard before called integer. Integer. Now, you may sit there and go, wait a minute, I can't remember sort of integer. What is that? And if I'm going to take us all the way back to elementary school and think about math, because, and I'm already hearing groans. Right? An integer is a whole number, like 1, 2, 3, 4, as opposed to a fraction. And so what that as a tie-in there is integrity. The idea of integrity concerns wholeness, completeness, entirety. And in addition, friends, it is also related to another word called integrated. Integrated. So when we put all of these together, integrity is when all aspects of our lives are integrated and working together as a whole. And this is a very holistic alignment then of our hearts and our minds. And I believe if we want to build the best life possible, I'm talking personally as well as spiritually, then integrity is a foundational must-have core value. So I'm pondering the story of Daniel chapter 3 and these three young men, and I thought about, wow, you know, they had such courage and they had such commitment and their unwillingness, they're not going to compromise their integrity in honoring God. And as I was pondering, I thought, Where did they get that from? And as I was pondering that, it led me to think about their family members, those that they had been raised up with, that these family members led by example because they were following the Holy One. So they were influenced. And then it led me to think about others who had been around them, such as trusted religious leaders or respected individuals who had moral, ethical fortitude, or maybe even people who could be around. People who could be around them and learn, they would learn right from wrong. And all of these individuals, if you take it and encompass it together, all of these individuals would have directly influenced the lives of these young men so that they would learn. Well, that same principle applies to us. Who are we surrounding ourselves with? Because you see, we are not innately born with a heart of integrity. I want to say that again. We are not innately born with a heart of integrity. If we want it, we have to work at it. It takes intentionality. It takes accountability. And that has got to be factored into the mix. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, knew that about accountability. He was part of a discipleship group that grew together in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And John Wesley developed a series of 22 questions to keep himself and that group accountable to live with integrity. And so among some of those 22 questions, which definitely make you stop and think and like, ooh, ooh, they include, am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I'm better than I really am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? Another one, am I honest in all my acts and words, or do I exaggerate? A third one, do I confidentially pass on to another what was told to me in confidence? The fourth one, do I insist upon doing something about which my conscience is uneasy? So Wesley may have come up with these meant-to-be tough questions because they are meant to be tough over 200 years ago. Nevertheless, that's part of what accountability looks like, to live with integrity. And these are great questions we should be asking ourselves daily and consistently. So just so you know, I prepared and I printed copies of this series of 22 questions for our use. Yeah, I've placed them in the back on the table that is now set up behind there. So if you'd like a copy, please take one. It won't bite you, all right, but it'll give you something to think about. Also, for those online, if you would like a copy, please contact me. I'll be glad to send you one. Friends, part of the process, this process in growing as a person of integrity, is struggle. We're going to be tempted. Oh, we're going to be tempted. Tempted to take shortcuts, compromise our values. We're going to be tempted to go against what we believe, even when we know, we well know, this is not right with God. And this is an opening. I believe this is an opening that the adversary truly wants. The adversary wants us to give in, to give up. The adversary wants us to be fragmented, to not be whole in a healthy, transformative way, but instead be a whole different kind of whole, one whole big old mess. If we have a heart of integrity, though, and fully lean into it, it helps us to move forward into the light with courage when we fall short and when we make mistakes, because we are, to not hide into the shadows, but rather step out and seek out and humbly ask for God's grace and forgiveness. And I'm going to add to that, when we fall short and make mistakes with others, we are to do the same thing, to humbly ask for their grace and their forgiveness. Following Christ, it is not easy. It is not easy. There's going to be pressures. You're going to have situations that make living a life for Jesus extremely difficult and extremely uncomfortable. Like the three amigos, the pressure they felt was to bow down to another god. And if you think about it, we have pressure to bow down to other gods. I'm just going to give you a couple. To bow down to the god of immediate gratification, to bow down to the god of materialism, or this week, how about to bow down to the god of denigration so we make ourselves look better than we are? Because we saw that this week with the reveal of crude and disparaging remarks, racist remarks nonetheless, that surfaced in a recording of three LA City Council members and the hurt and turmoil that is continuing, right? There is tension in our lives to bow down to a whole plethora of small g gods. And it reminds me of a verse from Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good, what is pleasing, and what is mature. So given this value, what does a person of integrity look like? Well, there's plenty of characteristics to choose from, so I'm just going to narrow it down to three. Plenty more. All right. One is expresses a person of integrity expresses gratitude for others. Now, we focused on this particular value on October the 2nd here at Harmony. So I'm not going to go into great detail. I would urge you, if you didn't listen, you weren't here and you want to catch that message, I encourage you, go online. It is there to listen to. What I will say is gratitude is action oriented. We align our hearts and our minds connecting with spirit. And we commit to give back what it is that we have been graciously given, received from God. And in so doing, what happens is we bring about a wholeness and we live with integrity. A second thing is a person of integrity exhibits reliability and trustworthiness. You're someone who can be counted on. You're someone who is honest. You're someone who is transparent. There is consistency for this individual, striving to be the same person in front of the crowd as well as the person who's behind the scenes. They aren't worried about being popular. They're more interested in how they're going to bring credibility to the table. And that's telling because folks are watching. People are observing. They're observing our words to see if they match and align with our actions. Parents, wee ones look at you, right? They're looking for your examples, aren't they, right? And so that same applies to us, church. Applies to us, church, because we are being looked upon for reliability and trustworthiness, for credibility and consistency. And the third thing is a person of integrity takes responsibility and accountability for their actions, whether it's good or whether it's bad. If there isn't responsibility or accountability happening, then the words coming out of our mouths are like a cloud of smoke. Holding ourselves accountable to God and to each other, that's individually and as a faith community, keeps us on track. It helps us grow. And when practiced, I'm going to key right here, when this is practiced in a spirit of love, this serves as a check and balance for our lives and our faith. Harmony, the younger generations want to see how we're giving back. The younger generations are seeking authenticity. They are seeking transparency, and they are seeking honesty. They are seeking to see how the church, not just the big C church, but the small C churches, how they're walking the talk. Is the church and its leaders, and it's just not clergy, it's also the laity, all of us, are they trustworthy? Do our actions match our words? Because what they want to see and they want to participate is in ways to love the least. They want to serve and be a part on the ways of how to serve the poor, in ways to pursue justice for the marginalized. The younger generations, and I believe all of us, are seeking a faith community with a heart of integrity. Friends, I'm going to close my message with this quote. Wisdom is knowing the right path to take. Integrity is taking it. How blessed we are to know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was and is a person of unquestionable integrity. Who for us is better to follow? Amen? The question is, how will we follow him? That takes intentionality, that takes accountability, and it takes work. May we put in the work. May we always be open to our hearts and minds to receive the wisdom and guidance from Spirit to know the right path to be taking in our lives. And in doing so, may we be driven by the value of integrity to take it. Amen. Amen. Amen.